Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 18. I know your bulletins have 10 through 20, but with all the material that's in these verses, I had to cut out a couple of verses that we will deal with next week. But I want you to focus your attention now on verse 10. And we'll read down to verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin and you'll see the passage of Scripture that we're going to be talking about this morning. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." On July 21st, 1861, raw Yankee recruits marched toward the Confederate Army camping at Bull Run, 30 miles southwest of Washington. The Union soldiers were overconfident and acted as if they were headed toward a sporting event. Congressmen, ladies, and all sorts of spectators trailed along with lunch baskets to observe the fun. But the courage of the Confederates, who stood their ground like a stone wall, giving their leader, Thomas J. Jackson, the nickname Stonewall, and the arrival of Confederate reinforcements threw the Union forces into a panic, even though the Union had superior forces. One observer wrote, "We called to them, tried to tell them there was no danger, called them to stop, implored them to stand. We called them cowards, denounced them in the most offensive terms, but all in vain. A cruel, crazy, mad, hopeless panic possessed them." Likewise, fear and panic can overcome us emotionally, even though we have the spiritual resources to deal with the situation. Now, I want you to understand, unfortunately, many Christians approach the battle with evil in the same way that these Union troops approach this battle. The result is the same. When the enemy strikes, it overwhelms them and brings anxiety and confusion into their lives. A lot of them lie wounded on the battlefield while the war goes on around them. The sad part is, it doesn't have to be that way for the Christian. It doesn't have to be that way for the Christian. God has provided everything we need to fight and win this war against evil. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we can avoid becoming a casualty of this war. First of all, I want you to understand, we can avoid becoming a casualty of war by embracing the need for God's armor. Understand something. You cannot avoid this war. There is a battle going on between the forces of good and evil. And if you are a Christian, you are on the good side, God's side. And the enemy, the devil is going to attack you. And he is going to try and put you down and put all those around you down. So you must understand that you're in a battle and that there is a need for you to have the armor of God. Every soldier needs morale. Every soldier needs morale, a motivation worth fighting for. This gives the soldier an inner power to fight. We know that's important in battle. They have to have something that gives them inner strength to fight the battle. Something that is going to give them power to fight when they're faced with the enemy. And that power comes from the Lord. I want us to understand that our inner strength comes from the Lord Jesus. It comes from the Lord Jesus. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, just a couple pages back in your Bible, in verse 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age which is to come." So our battle is against these powers and principalities, right? But Jesus, his power, the power that we have available to us, is above all that, much stronger than any of those foes, much stronger than their power. And that is the power we have available to us, the motivation that we have available to us, the power that will give us the inner strength that we need to fight this war. You see, it is the strength we receive from the all-powerful Savior that gives us the inner motivation to fight the spiritual battle against evil. Now, you can't fight this battle on your own strength. You cannot fight this battle on your own strength. The devil will have a heyday in your life if you don't put this armor on. I want you to understand that. I see Christians defeated all the time. And it's not because they don't have power available to them. It's because they don't put on the armor of God by his mighty power. They don't access the power of God. They don't ask God for that power. They don't recognize that that power is available to them. They don't recognize the armor that they have available to them. And they live defeated in their battle against evil. We need to understand that God doesn't want us to be defeated. He wants us to be able to stand with his mighty power and have victory in this battle. Notice the word whole in verse 11. Notice the word whole in verse 11. This indicates that this armor is everything we need in our battle against the devil. It's everything we need. There's nothing that we will be vulnerable to with the devil if we put on this armor. He's given us everything we need to protect us in this battle and to win this battle. It also indicates that if we don't put on every piece of the armor, if we don't put on one of these pieces of this armor, then we'll be vulnerable. And the devil will skillfully find our weakness and attack accordingly. Understand that. You got to put on the whole armor. You have to put on the whole armor, or be certain that the devil will find out where your armor isn't on, and he will attack accordingly. Okay? So, keep that in mind. He is wily. He is wily, it says here. The wiles of the devil. Look at verse 12. It tells us the enemy is real, but spiritual in nature. Look at verse 12. It says, as many as... hang on a second. I'm in Galatians. I got to get back to Ephesians here. Look at verse 12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, in the heavenly places. So there's no doubt we have a real enemy. But the nature of this enemy is not physical, but spiritual. Our enemy is a spiritual enemy. So if that's the case, physical weaponry will not work in this battle. Physical weaponry will not work in this battle. And a lot of times we try and battle the devil with our own physical strength, and it won't work because he is spiritual. And we must face this battle in the spiritual realm with spiritual weapons. That is why we must have the spiritual weapons that God is providing us. And we're going to talk about those spiritual weapons, but I want you to understand, the devil is real. His forces of evil are real. Just try and do right for a while, and you'll see that there is a battle. There is a battle. And with this in mind, let's embrace the need for God's armor and ask him to equip us with his armor so we may be able to stand in the onslaught that the devil brings our way. Look at verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, we can avoid being a casualty of war by experiencing the effectiveness of God's armor. By experiencing the effectiveness, the equipment that God supplies us with to fight against the forces of evil will ensure us victory even in the fiercest of battles. Even when the battle is fiercest, even in the day of evil, even when the battle is raging at its worst, the equipment that God gives us will stand up against the forces of evil. But you must take a stand if you are going to experience its effectiveness. You know, you can be holding the shield of faith, and you can be have the breastplate of righteousness on, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the word, and the sword of the spirit in your hand, and be there, standing there with all the armor of God on. And unless you participate and attack the enemy, you don't know really if it's going to hold up against it. So you've got to take a stand. This taking a stand means that you actively get involved in the battle against evil. There's no standing on the sidelines with God. You have to use the armor to trust in the armor. But once you see that shield of faith is going to protect you against the fiery darts of the devil, then you'll say, okay, I can go at him now, knowing that I'm protected. Okay? So there's this idea that we've got to experience the effectiveness of the equipment that God has given us in order to have faith that it will work, even in the fiercest of battles. So we've got to be using it on a constant basis, getting good with it. Okay? And the more we use our equipment, the better we will perform in it, even in the fiercest of battles. Okay? Now, thirdly, we can avoid becoming a casualty of war by remembering the nature of God's armor. Now, we talked about it being spiritual, but now the Apostle Paul gets into it, the more specifics of what our spiritual weaponry is. First of all, in verse 14, It says truth. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now, truth opens our eyes to the methods of warfare of the devil. And it also is a way for us to perform best in the battle. Now, gird the loins here. Back in biblical times, guys wore these tunics, okay? And when they went to battle, they would tie those tunics up and gird them around their loins, and so that they could run and jump and you know, fight a lot easier than if they had that tunic around their legs, okay? So it was a way for them to perform better in battle, and it helped, but truth also helps us perform better in our spiritual battle, because we're able to see how the devil is trying to deceive us. And believe me, the devil is constantly trying to deceive us, telling us that sin is okay, that just a little sin's okay, that sin won't hurt us, things like that, deceptiveness. But we must remember the truth of God's word. Sin does hurt. Sin put Jesus on the cross, and we need to avoid sin in order to fight this battle against evil. And then it says the breastplate of righteousness. Look at verse 14 again. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now this comes from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive righteousness, justification, not because of good things that we do. Our righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we realize that He died on the cross for our sins, that He rose again to save us from our sins, and we ask Him to forgive us of our sins and accept Him into our hearts as our Lord and Savior, He gives us His righteousness. He gives us His righteousness, and we are cleansed from our sins. He gives us victory over our sins, and He gives us His righteousness. And that is what we can have confidence in. Not our own righteousness. Although I do believe the concept of us having righteous conduct is here as well. And we need to act accordingly as our God would want us to in righteousness. But we're really trusting in the righteousness of God to protect us. To protect our breast here. Okay? So I want us to remember that. Hey, if you haven't taken on the breastplate of righteousness, Jesus Christ, if you haven't asked Him to forgive you of your sins, if you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven, please trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. He promised He would, and you can experience His righteousness, the peace that comes from having your sins forgiven and being able to know that you're sanctified, you are justified in the eyes of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, by His death, burial, and resurrection. That is what we should be trusting in. We need to remember that. Now, look what it says in verse 15. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now this means readiness with the gospel of peace. Readiness. Ready to tell others about this good news about Jesus Christ. And it says, in Isaiah chapter 52. Turn your Bibles there to Isaiah chapter 52. It's back in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 52 in verse 7. You know, there's something about someone who is ready to preach the gospel, someone ready to give the news about Jesus Christ, that makes their feet beautiful. Look what it says in verse 7 of chapter 52 of the book of Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. There's this connection with us being ready to preach the gospel of peace, ready to tell people about Jesus and having beautiful feet. I think it also denotes that we need to be going in this battle, that we need to use our feet in this battle, not just standing in one place, but going to where the battle is and taking the battle to the devil. This is something I hope we'll do. I hope we'll be ready to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ whenever that opportunity comes, and make some opportunities to present the gospel of the Lord. We have some Romans Road. We have some salvation verses for you to keep in your wallet or your purse so that you have the Word of God ready at all times, so that when that opportunity comes for you to present the good news of the Lord Jesus, you can and present it with His Word. So, when we declare the good news of Jesus to those who are under the attack of Satan, we are disrupting Satan's military strategy. That is what we want to do. That's how we want to take the battle to him. It is an offensive weapon that we have in preaching the gospel of peace. And then look what it says in verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, this phrase, above all, we need faith in the Lord for any of our armor to work. We need faith in the Lord for our armor to work. Just imagine you're going to battle without your shield. First dart that comes by, you're toast. You're out of the game. That's it. You're done, right? So you got to have the shield of faith. You've got to trust in the Lord. You've got to trust that His promises will protect you. You've got to trust in His promises. That is what we're saying here. You're going to be faced over and over again with situations that will test whether you trust in the promises of God. And it will determine whether you win the battle against evil or lose that battle. So hold fast to the faith. Hold fast to the promises of God. The promises that He will protect you, that He will guide you, that He will provide for you, that He will love you. These are the things that we need to rely on, have faith in, as we go to battle against the forces of evil. Now look at verse 17. It says, then take on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. The Christian has security because of his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one thing I don't want unprotected when I go to battle, and that's my head. Because if I lose my head, I'm done. It's over. You know, I can take a shot in the arm and probably keep going. But you're not going to take a shot to the head and keep going. So we need that helmet of salvation, that security in our Lord Jesus Christ, that even if we die on a battlefield, we're going to be all right. No matter how many scars we take, no matter how many hits we take from the devil, no matter how much we face against the forces of evil, we're going to be all right. We're going to heaven. That's something that we need to remember in this life, to put on the helmet of salvation. And then it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, to me, this is our best, most effective, offensive weapon in our battle against the forces of evil. Now, I want you to understand, it is by His Spirit we attack with the Word of God, but we do not wield the sword by our own power. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is by the power of His Spirit that we're able to, that we wield that sword. Okay? We talked about it this week in prayer revival, how God's Spirit works with His Word to work in the hearts and lives of people. And that is how the spiritual battle is won. Because God, with His Spirit and His Word, accompanying His Spirit with His Word, cuts even the hardest heart. Cuts even the hardest heart. So it is by the Spirit-empowered Word of God that we are able to defend or defeat evil. That is what we need to remember. So as we present the Word of God to people, let's ask the Holy Spirit to be speaking to their hearts as we present it, so that it's wielded with effectiveness and does what it's supposed to do. Okay? That's what we want to see. We want to see the Word of God wielded by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand, this is how we defeat the devil. This is how we put the blow on him that makes him retreat. Jesus did this when he was tempted by the devil. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to be ending soon. I know we went over time for communion, but hey, we don't have to go anywhere because we got lunch right over here. Amen? So, okay. Matthew chapter 4. Verses 1 through 10. I'm just going to highlight this. Jesus is tempted by the devil. And he answered, Jesus answered the devil and said, it is written in verse 4, look at verse 4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, in short, Jesus used the Word of God to defeat the temptation of the devil, of Satan. We can do the very same thing. We can use the Word of God, empowered by His Holy Spirit, to fight off the wiles of the devil. And we need to use it. Listen, when the devil tempts you, when the devil tempts you to lie, remember the Word of God where it says, thou shalt not lie. And use that word to fend off the temptation of the devil. And whatever it is that you're facing, the Bible speaks to it. The Bible speaks to it. And you can use His word to fight off the temptation to do that which is wrong. So let's use His word. Let's use His word. This is the equipment that God has provided for us to fight our battle against the evil forces that attack us. Now, finally back in Ephesians in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is why we had the prayer revival this week. right here in a nutshell, in one verse, explains why we had the prayer revival. Because we are in a battle. We are in a war. We need to be watching. We need the Holy Spirit working. We need Him. And we receive His guidance and His power and His direction through prayer. That is what we need to see here. That is why the Apostle Paul encourages us to always be praying about everything and be watching with all perseverance and supplication. We need to see that prayer keeps us connected to the general of this war. You understand? The general is Jesus on our side. And when we pray, we keep connected to Him. Picture the general on the hill where he can see the entire battlefield and know what's going on. And you're in the midst of the battle where you can't see quite well enough to know what all is going on. But if you're taking directions from the general, you don't have to see everything that's going on to win the battle and be effective. And it's through prayer that we're connected and able to take direction from him. It's through prayer that we're fortified. It's through prayer that we're fortified in this battle. Prayer allows us to use our equipment effectively by seeing where the enemy is attacking, watching. We learned this week that watching is part of prayer. Watching is part of prayer. So you're perceiving, trying to perceive with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of God, what's going on in our world, where the attack is coming from, so that you can use your weaponry best. So that you can use your weaponry best. That's what we're seeing here. So prayer really has to be constantly helping us with our equipment, with our motivation, with our fortification, with being able to fight the battle. So we've always got to be praying. Let's always be in prayer so that we don't become a casualty of war. I hope that we will recognize the battle. Recognize the battle that's going on in your life. There is a battle going on. It's between the forces of good, Jesus, and the forces of evil, the devil. Jesus wants to give you everything you need to fight this battle and win over evil. You accept it by, first of all, accepting the forgiveness of your sins through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then you ask for Him to help you put on this armor and use this armor against the wiles of the devil. And He will help you overcome the strongholds that the devil has in your life, and He will help you against the attack and temptations of the evil in this world. So please, act on God's armor. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior if you haven't. And as a Christian, ask God to help you put this armor on and use it effectively through His power.